Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number one. I'm Jim Galante along with Andy Shea, and we've got a very special guest with us, president of Penn State Chapter of Uplifting Athletes and long snapper specialist for the Nittany Lions, Chris Stoll. Chris, first of all, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
As I said, Chris is the president of the Uplifting Athletes Chapter. We know Andy is part of the Uplifting Athletes team, so it's good that he's here with us also. But just to get us started, Chris, I'm sure there's some fans out there who really don't know very much about Uplifting Athletes and Lift for Life, the signature event at the Penn State Chapter. How about giving us a quick background of what it's all about?
Yeah, so Uplifting Athletes was actually originally started at Penn State with Mr. Shirley. Since then, there's been, I think, a little under 30 chapters throughout the United States and colleges. Basically, what we do is we do Lift for Life. Lift for Life is a platform for not only us to engage with fans and have people come out to watch us bench press, but it's also a way to raise awareness and funding for rare diseases in the rare disease community. So all those people with rare diseases are able to, you know, have a team behind them, multiple teams at this point with as many chapters as we have, and we're able to give them hope and finding hopefully some cures with our funding that we do, and also just giving them, you know, a support team.
Obviously a fantastic cause. Let's talk specifically about the Lift for Life event, the where's, the when's, and so on, because I'm sure a lot of our listeners would be interested in attending this year's event.
Yeah, so this year we will actually be open to the public again, and we're really excited about that. It'll be on Thursday, June 30th at 5 p.m. at the Outdoor Lash Football Facility. Basically, what they can expect is a whole lot of fun. All of our guys on the team who are here during the summer will be participating in the 225 bench press test. All those reps are able to be donated for on pledgeit.com. This way, we can raise a certain amount of money per each rep we are benched. So basically, during the lift, we'll have obviously the 225 bench press going, and then also some side competitions going. We'll have a offense versus defense tug of war, some tire flip competitions, a 1v1 farmer hold, which those get pretty exciting. So overall, it's just a really exciting event for fans to engage, see all our players, you know, without all the gear on, the helmets, they can see our faces, enjoy our personalities, and have a good time.
It's been years, of course, like for everyone else since I've been there, but it's always been a lot of fun. Andy, I know Chris would be too modest to talk about it, but right. Chris is president of the chapter at Penn State. There's a lot that goes into that job, isn't there?
There is, and he's been involved in the leadership at Penn State for the Penn State Chapter of Uplifting Athletes basically since early in his career, since he stepped on campus. He ascended and, you know, was behind, you know, saw some quarterbacks have leadership roles at Penn State while he was there. And then he stepped into the chapter president, the main leadership role, right before the COVID-19 pandemic in 2020. So from my, you know, standpoint, it's required some extra commitment and work from Chris to, and from all the chapter leaders, but especially at a place like Penn State, the charter chapter for Uplifting Athletes in terms of our chapter network. It's been tough because this is the first time since 2019 that they've had an in-person event. No events in 2020. Nothing was allowed to be public in 2021 with the pandemic. So each one of these guys that steps into a leadership role, like Chris, is a certain kind of person. I like to say they're cut from a different mold, but it has been a little extra tough for all these guys during the pandemic. So I just wanted to ask you, Chris, by the way, he's heading into his fourth season as Penn State's long snapper, just so you know, a little background on him. Lift for Life is back in person. I just wanted to ask you the significance for you, not only as the chapter leader, but also everyone else on your team. How significant is it, and does it add like an extra excitement and just kind of feel like we're kind of starting over a little bit again?
Yeah, it's definitely an exciting time. Obviously, we have freshmen who just got on campus. We have freshmen from last year and the year before when the pandemic started who really have no idea what an in-person Lift for Life is and how the energy is from the fans and just how we are able to interact with them and kind of enjoy ourselves and have a little fun through all this work that we're putting in during the summer. Just can't express enough how excited I am personally, and just can't wait for everyone to come out and see.
Chris, one of the things that I saw when I was out there a few years ago when the public could attend is you can bring the kids, you could bring the little ones there, and there are things for them to do, and they get a chance to get up close to the players, correct?
We're going to have something special, hopefully planned. We're working through the kinks right now, but should be able to have all the kids involved and their families and everyone in the stands.
And also, tell me a little bit more about this is the offense, the competition when it's the offense versus the defense. Tell me a little bit more about the events that the fans will be able to see the two sides of the ball competing on.
Yeah, so obviously we do competitions on the field, but we also do competitions off the field with funding and raising awareness, you know, sending tweets out, posting on Instagram, everything we can do. On the field, offense versus defense, who can get the most reps on 225. Tire flips will all be, you know, offense versus defense. Obviously, tug of war is awesome when you have the O-line and the D-line going against each other. That can get pretty intense. And then with the farmer holes, just that's just 1v1. Guys can call people out. That gets really exciting, really intense, and I can't wait for it.
If any fans want to learn more information about Lift for Life or want to find out anything, you can go to pledgeit.org/PSULIFT22 or just go to upliftingathletes.org. You can find anything out there you need about Penn State's upcoming Lift for Life on June 30th. Good luck to you guys. But I wanted to see if I could ask a couple football questions since we got, you know, a Penn State player on here. Is that good with you, Chris?
Of course.
So I just am curious. You have so much seat time under you. As I said, 35 games, a wealth of experience. So I'm just wondering, you can give me a wild guess too, starting with Kant, and over the course of a regular 13-game season, including a bowl game, do you have any idea how many snaps you execute over the course of that 4 to 5 months?
That's a lot.
You have to take a wild guess. Like
probably around 1,000 or 1,500 in that range.
That's a lot of snapping. So I wanted to ask you, because he does both punting, snapping, and he snaps for kicks and extra points. Which was the one you had to work at harder or develop as a craft for you? Which one did you have to become? Did you have to put more work in to get better at? Because you do both at an excellent level, but that's not inherent. Was there one or the other that was tougher for you that you had to put more time into?
Punt snaps are always kind of the more difficult version. Obviously, with field goal snaps, it's more about accuracy, getting the laces where they need to be, but it's not really about speed. Obviously, when you first get on campus as a freshman, you're not to your full potential strength-wise. So building up strength, building up consistency with your motion for punt snaps, that's the most important thing. You know, being able to hit the right hip or the left hip for lefties. You know, that's accuracy and speed is the name of the game.
Speaking of punt snapping, you've during your career at Penn State, you've snapped for a couple pretty good guys who can punt the ball. Blake Gillikin, the current New Orleans Saints punter, Jordan Stout, who's just drafted in the most recent NFL draft by the Ravens in the fourth round. Obviously, those are two guys, special teams-wise, they are elite at their craft, and you have to match that as their long snapper. Is there one type of snap that fits all at that level, that very high level, or did you have to make adjustments for each one of them because they're each uniquely different?
There's definitely adjustments you can make. It's more about, and as snappers, we hate to say this, but it's more about where you miss. Kind of like professional golfers,
right.
You know, they'll say, you know, I can hit into this bunker, but I need to take out that tree miss. I need to take out that left hook miss. So different punters will say, if you're going to miss anywhere, miss to my face. Or if you're going to miss anywhere, miss low to my knees. That's really just the only thing. Obviously, every punter loves a perfect snap right to their hip. And obviously you want to do that 100 times out of 100, but because sometimes that's not possible. No one's perfect in this world. So just kind of knowing where the miss is for that specific punter is important.
Now, Chris, you have a new special teams coach this year. How much coaching is involved for the snappers? It seems like it's such a specialty. After this many years doing it, can a new coach tell you something new?
Yeah, always. I am fortunate to have four special teams coordinators in my six-year career. Each one of them offers a different perspective, have different experiences that they can teach you, and you can lean on them, you know, to continue to learn and to continue to evolve. Not so much the technical aspect of snapping, but, you know, there's mental sides, there's physical sides. Some are better helping you with blocking. Some are, you know, more adapt to different, you know, field goal snaps and punt snaps, whether you're going to release, block. There's a whole different, a number of different things that they can teach you. But I am just certainly blessed to have four different special teams coordinators who have all taught me.
Now, one more football question. Jordan Stout is gone, who was doing everything. How are the new guys performing?
I think everyone's performing really well. This time of the summer, you know, it's really about working on your craft. You know, if a kicker is not good from the left hash, then this is the time to work on that left hash kick. Snappers, if you're, you know, struggling with blocking to the left or blocking to the right, this is the time to work on it. So guys are coming in. Every day we're working with each other. Not only is there always competition going on, but there's always learning and teaching. We're able to teach each other, especially me and Jake, who's also a fifth-year guy. We have a lot of experience, a lot of game time. We're able to kind of teach that to the young guys and get them as much experience as we can.
One more time, can you tell us where folks could go online, you said, if they want to make a contribution, exactly when the event is, where it is?
Yeah, so the event will be held on Thursday, June 30th at 5 p.m. at the Lash Football Facility outside on the turf field. You are able to donate. A lot of our guys will have tweeted out links to their specific pages. You can look on your favorite Penn State football player's Twitter. You can also go to pledgeit.org/PSULift22, or you can go to upliftingathletes.org to get more information.
And I'll thank you also, Chris, and thank you for your work there with Uplifting Athletes and Lift for Life. And thank you so much for being on the show. All right, that's it for quarter number one. Stick around, quarter number two. Ross Tucker's going to show up.
This is Jen from Collegiate Athletic Travel. We've been offering travel to the biggest Penn State games for over 50 years. This fall, we continue that tradition in partnership with Keystone Sports Network with a trip to the Penn State-Auburn game. Join us for charter flight, staying at the team hotel, transportation to and from the game, and even a great tailgate party at the stadium are included. For more information, go to athletictravel.com or call 1-800-788-4414. See you there.
What defines the special spirit of Penn State? Why Penn State, by author Greg Woodman, looks to Happy Valley in the 1980s for answers. Featuring rare photos, original essays, and exclusive interviews with Coach Paterno, this beautiful 256-page full-color hardback edition explores the why behind We Are. It's chicken soup for the Nittany Lion's soul and makes the perfect gift for any Penn Stater in your life, including you. Order today at whypennstate.com.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.
We are Tech Results, located right here in State College. Whether it's workstation, server and network installation, problem solving and maintenance, security assessments, or general evaluations, we are your complete IT partner. Learn more at techresults.com. That's TEKResults.com. Or call us at 814-206-0000.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number two. I'm Jim Galante, and since it's quarter number two, that means Ross Tucker has made his way in. Ross, how are you doing this week?
Doing awesome, Jim. Ready to talk some Penn State football. And we're finally talking about the best position on the football field. We're finally talking about my greatest area of expertise, or at least should be my greatest area of expertise, the big boys up front.
You know, that's an unbiased point of view also, isn't it, Ross, saying this offensive line is the best position?
Yes, there's no question. I think that O-line is the best position. Look, yes, I'm biased. We don't get talked about enough, but I think Penn State fans, the good ones, Jim, probably realize over the years that it feels like Penn State's kind of gone as their O-line and D-line have gone. You know, to a lesser extent, the defense, but you know, you think about like 94 team with Jeff Hardings and Marco Rivera and Andre Johnson. I mean, I think a lot of times Penn State's best teams, they've really usually been led by the O-line or the defense. Now, that 94 team was loaded with skill guys, obviously. Kyle Brady, Kerry Collins, Kajana Carter, Bobby Engram, Freddie Scott, we know. But that O-line was also unbelievable. We should do a whole episode sometime. Has there ever been a better college offense than that one? It's hard to imagine that there could be. I mean, what, three top 10 picks?
Ross, let me make that a real, real short segment. Has there been a better offense? No. Okay? That's the answer. No, there hasn't. But I would love to do that segment. I'm going to make a note. We are going to do that because I absolutely loved that 94 team and especially the offense. Real quick, though, on the offensive line, I do believe, Ross, that you have been doing a service for the Penn State fan base in highlighting the offensive line. And I know I've learned a lot from you about it. I watched the game differently because of my conversations with you. And the fact is, the offensive line affects everything. Easy to say it's the passing game, the running game it affects. But also, I had someone tell, in fact, our buddy T. Frank, who follows what Pro Football Focus says on things, they determined Sean Clifford is one of the worst quarterbacks when he's under pressure. Well, guess what? That's because of the offensive line, if he's under pressure a lot. It affects so much. So let's get to it. Let's talk about the couple newcomers. Let's start with J.B. Nelson. He came in from the junior college level. What did you see from J.B.?
You know what? Really good size and frame, which is always, one of the starting points, obviously, for an offensive lineman. I would say watching him, now he's played a couple years, I believe, at Lackawanna Junior College. And so he's playing at a higher level of football for sure. He plays left tackle. I really like the potential he has from a physical standpoint with that size and frame. I would say, Jim, probably average feet, athleticism, an initial burst off the ball, which is not the worst thing in the world. Remember this, okay? Average always sounds like such a negative. I'm talking about for a Big Ten starting lineman. You know? I mean, you know what average is? A lot better than below average. And I was a guy that had some below average physical characteristics, okay? So average is not a negative, but I am evaluating it how anybody would evaluate it. I think he's got average feet, athleticism, an initial burst off the ball. As a result, I think he projects more to guard than offensive tackle. But I think he's kind of what you're looking for at guard. A guy that could play tackle in junior college play it effectively, pass pro there, move him inside because he doesn't have sweet feet, right? You want the guys at tackle to really have sweet feet. Just how light on their feet they are, how easily they move back and forth with lateral agility. That's not really J.B. Nelson. What I love about him, what I love about him is his passion and his physicality. This kid gets it. This kid understands what's great about the sport, what's great in particular about playing offensive line, and he embraces it. He is the biggest, baddest dude out there, and he's trying to smash as many of the smaller dudes as he can. He is trying to impose his will physically on the others, and I love it. Love it, love it, love it. There are several examples on his tape of high football IQ and recognition where he sees a blitz coming, Jim. He sees a stunt coming. Things like that that I absolutely love. Very, very important to me because that's such a great indicator of how an offensive lineman in particular sees the game. And that's what gives him a great opportunity inside. His high football IQ, his ability to recognize, read, and react, plus his enthusiasm. Jim, I had a smile on my face the whole time I was watching J.B. Nelson play because he plays with the joy and love of a guy that you can tell loves what he's doing and is having the time of his life. Those are the two things that are very, very, very important to me from an offensive lineman. Football IQ, he's got it. You know, the defensive end drops, boom, he's right in on the defensive tackle, knocking that guy to the ground. Or there's another stunt, he sees it. And then he's trying to finish. He loves what he does. He's got solid power as a run blocker. He is a great finisher. And he's doing that against pretty darn good competition. He's doing all that, you know, at a high JUCO level, which is encouraging. I think he's got a chance. I'd be surprised if he doesn't end up getting some playing time inside during his career because of those qualities I just mentioned.
Do you have a score for him?
Yeah, I'm going to give him. It's always tougher with the JUCO kids because it's like, I'm grading on a different scale. You know, they're 2 years older, but I'll give him an 8.1. I liked him.
Well, that's a pretty good score for him. Let's move on to our next signee, and that is Drew Shelton. Very highly regarded, Ross. What did you think of him?
Yeah, well, you can see why he's so highly regarded. There's no question about it. He's got a solid frame and size, which, again, is always an important starting point for an offensive lineman. But what really jumps out to him about him more than anything else, he is just a very natural, smooth mover in everything he does. Everything. He's always in balance. Always under control. I mean, Jim, he'll be out in space against a safety or a smaller kid, and he never gets over his skis. He never gets off balance. He looks like a basketball player out there. I think he is. I think he is a basketball player. He's just a very, very natural mover. Excellent athlete in space. I'd say he has above average initial power, not elite or great initial power off the snap, but he does a really good job of working to finish and dump opponents. Really good job of both. He is superb on linebackers at the second level. Absolutely superb when he gets to linebackers at the second level. He's a really good prospect. I'm going to give him an 8.6. I mean, he's a really good player. I would not be surprised if he's Penn State's, you know, left tackle of the future. You know, he might not be quite as long or big as you'd like, but being such a natural mover the way he is, I think he's got a really, really good chance to be Penn State's left tackle at some point.
And, Rosh, the way you say that, at some point, but not ready to contribute immediately. I know offensive line, it's tough, especially at tackle, for a kid to step right in that first year and play.
Yeah, I think, I think especially this year it's unlikely. It's just really, he didn't enroll early, which makes it even tougher to be able to go in and compete right away. So I would think that that's unlikely. You know, you really shouldn't be a guy that starts right away unless there's issues elsewhere. Unless you're either unbelievable or there's issues elsewhere.
What part of the game is it for an offensive lineman where he needs to, they're not ready, it takes longer for an offensive lineman? Is it the physical maturity? Is it the mental aspect of the game?
Good question. It's three things. Physical maturity, the mental aspect of feel for the game, understanding of what you're seeing, how things go, but then also technique. You know, it's such a technique-driven position, and so often, you know, it's going to be really tough to come into college football and have the technique you need to be able to start in the Big Ten. You just don't see it very often.
Again, that's a high level for a player to jump right in and play, and I think it's often said the further away from the ball you are, the easier it is to contribute right away. In other words, a wide receiver or running back or on defense, if you're a cornerback, it just makes it easier. And we've seen that at Penn State. We've seen contributors right away at wide receiver, running back, cornerback. All right, Ross, that is it for quarter number two. You want to stick around because in quarter number three, we're going to take your questions and we're going to ask Ross.
This is Jen from Collegiate Athletic Travel. We've been offering travel to the biggest Penn State games for over 50 years. This fall, we continue that tradition in partnership with Keystone Sports Network with a trip to the Penn State-Auburn game. Join us for charter flight, staying at the team hotel, transportation to and from the game, and even a great tailgate party at the stadium are included. For more information, go to athletictravel.com or call 1-800-788-4414. See you there.
In his book, Why Penn State, author Greg Woodman takes readers on a trip back in time to Happy Valley in the 1980s, a unique era of gridiron success and rapid expansion that gave our university its modern identity. Whether you're traveling down memory lane or discovering old state's past for the first time, this compilation of rare photos, original essays, and exclusive interviews helps you explore the why behind We Are. Start your journey today. Order online at whypennstate.com.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.
We are Tech Results, located right here in State College. We specialize in providing assistance with many third-party software suites. Our clients include doctor's offices, lawyers, construction companies, and even hairdressers. We provide help with their industry-specific software. Learn more at techresults.com. That's TEK results.com. Or give us a call at 814-206-0000.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. I'm with Ross Tucker. It's quarter number three, and that means it's time to ask Ross. This is where we take your questions for Ross, and the best question wins the KSN Polo. If you want to submit a question for Ross, really easy. Download our app, Keystone Sports. You'll see the Ask Ross button there, or you could even email me at info@KSNSports.net. And you know what, Ross? It's the off season, so we get fewer questions every week. What I'd like to see is, we know we have so many listeners out there. You've never sent a question. If you send a question this week, put a little note on it that this is your first question, and we'll make sure we ask it of Ross.
I like that. I like that, Jim. I like that a lot. Also, I'm an open book. You can ask me anything. I will answer any question you ask me. Go for it.
All right, Ross, based on being able to ask any question, let's start with Stan in Tennessee, who starts with, Ross, first the obligatory food question. What is your absolute favorite meal, entree and sides? Now for my football question. In keeping with Jim's theme of making KSN analysts Nittany Line coaches, I'm making you the new offensive line coach. What do you do differently to improve on the lackluster performance of the past few years? What would be your primary focus? So let's start with the food question, Ross. Absolute favorite meal.
Well, so my favorite food, and I think we've discussed this before, maybe not. This is usually surprising for people. My favorite food, scrambled cheese eggs.
Scrambled cheese eggs.
I grew up on them. It's American cheese. It's a 2-to-1 ratio. So for every 2 eggs, you have 1 piece of American cheese at least. And you don't overcook them. In fact, Jim, when you pull them out, you're a little bit nervous as to whether or not they're totally fully cooked. They are, trust me, they are. But I like them moist, not runny, but moist. So good. Like I've said this, like if someone said you have to be in a food contest and your life depends on it, right? Like, you know, however much you eat, your life depends on it. Without any hesitation, I would say scrambled cheese eggs. Jim, how many?
Now, is this just breakfast or any meal?
It's usually breakfast, but I've had it for lunch and dinner before, for sure. How many do you think I could take down?
Oh, my goodness. Let's see. I'll say, since we're talking eggs, how about a dozen?
I could take down 2 dozen scrambled cheese eggs without blinking. 2 dozen. A dozen? Jim, I call that Tuesday. A dozen? I never understand people that say, oh, I only need 3 eggs. 3 eggs? That's like 2 bites. What are you even talking about?
Wait a minute, Ross. Now, when you say you could handle 2 dozen without blinking, without an issue, Have you proven that?
No, I have not. I have eaten for sure 12 to 14 on a fairly regular basis and had plenty of room left over, but it wasn't a solo endeavor. There were other people there and we made 24, so I was like, well, I can't eat all of them. So now, with my wife's family, there's 10 of us, but 4 of them are little kids. We now make 30 eggs because I eat 10 and the other people eat the other 20 or so. The other 9 people eat the other 20 or so. But I'm telling you, dude, I could eat 24 eggs. Ask my brother-in-law and sister-in-law or my wife. I could eat 24 scrambled cheese eggs without any question.
So the others eat two or three. You eat a dozen. I'm fascinated by this now, Ross. So we'll get to the football questions. But now when you do this and it's at breakfast, are you eating anything else with it?
Absolutely. There's pancakes. There's sausage. I'm not a huge bread person. So where my wife's from, further northeast, they are really into their bread. It's very important. So they'll have a bunch of bread with their breakfast, and that's not me. I don't need the bread. I don't like the bread is like, it's like we talk about pizza. The bread is not the star of the show. I just want the egg. Now, listen, I don't mind having a piece of toast or a bagel or something to like at the end of. What I love is, like, if my one daughter doesn't finish both her pieces of toast, I'll leave one left over, Jim, for the end of my egg plate, and then in comes the Zamboni. The Zamboni comes in, the toast Zamboni comes in, cleans up the plate. By the time I'm done with the toast Zamboni, you don't even need to wash my plate. It looks like it's never been used before, even though I just had 12. Jim, you are loving this. Right now, everybody driving, listen to this. This is like their favorite segment of Penn State football talk ever. My toast Zamboni from my 8-year-old.
Exactly, Ross. And I'll tell you what, everybody loves breakfast, but that your breakfast is a little different. By the way, I didn't hear you mention, but it's like my favorite food. You didn't mention bacon.
I like bacon. I don't know that I love it as much as everybody else does. I like bacon a lot. I find, Jim, that bacon is often not cooked to my liking. In other words, a lot of times it's undercooked and there's fatty pieces, which I don't really like. My wife really, really wants, because she doesn't like that, she asks for like really crispy bacon. But if it's too crispy, it like almost like breaks apart. And I feel like bacon, perfectly cooked bacon, is amazing. I guess I've just had some bad experiences lately where it hasn't been perfectly cooked. You know, it's either been undercooked, overcooked, and I'm not a big fan of either one of those.
Okay, well, I understand that, but bacon, I mean, bacon is for every meal. You ever have the macaroni and cheese with bacon in it?
Yes, I like that. I like taking the bacon. So if it's just me, you know what I do with my scrambled cheese eggs? I get deli ham, and I put deli ham and mix it in with the scrambled cheese eggs. But some morons that I might be related to don't like that. So I'm not able to do that. Because that's what I cook. That's my contribution to the family, Jim. I cook the scrambled cheese eggs on Sunday mornings when we're all together at my in-laws' place. And so I want to put ham in the worst way, because we always have leftover ham from the day before. So you know what I end up doing? I end up actually putting some ham in on top of mine that's cold. It's because it's not mixed in the skillet or whatever. Totally forgot the football question. Oh,
well, I'll get to that. But just real quick though, Ross, even if the ham's cold, it's still ham though, okay?
Exactly.
It's still ham. All right, here's the football question is, Stan wants to know, if you were made the offensive line coach, what would you do differently?
That's a tough question to answer because I'm not there. So I don't know what Troutwine teaches the guys. I don't know. I really don't know his philosophies that well and what he teaches the guys.
Here's my question. In watching the team, watching the offensive line, we know they've come up short in the last couple of years. What do you see that is missing? Is it physical? Is it the mental aspect? They're making mental mistakes. Are they not working hard enough? What do you see? What's causing the shortcomings there?
Well, in general, I haven't been thrilled with, I feel like they could be more physical. I feel like they could have some more nasty, and I just haven't seen enough of that. And that's disappointing to me as a guy that played the position. So that's number one. I think you need that, and I think it's very important. Number two, you know, I've been disappointed in particular with the lack of improvement from the offensive tackles. Rashid Walker, Caden Wallace. And I don't know. Listen, all of it ultimately is on Troutwine, right? But then you do see improvement from a guy like Juice Scruggs. So you can't sit here and say, well, Troutwine can't get guys better because Scruggs got better. I feel like Tangwall, you know, was pretty ready to play. We'll see what Fashanu does this year. But Walker and Wallace are major disappointments to me. Major. That they have not shown that they can get better the last couple years. This is a huge year for Wallace. But these are like U.S. Army Bowl All-American dudes. I mean, these are guys that, you know, Penn State needs to play at a really high level, and they haven't. You know, they've just been okay. You know, Walker ends up being a seventh-round pick. Wallace might not even be that. They need to get more out of the physical ability that those two kids had.
Let's see if we could sneak in another one real quick. Steve from Chicago says, since we're in the offseason, a question I've always wanted to ask, do college and NFL players get brand new jerseys, uniforms for each game? Also, do you, Ross, get a clothing allowance for the games you call on TV?
No clothing allowance. That would be nice. Good question. I'm sure the high-profile guys do, although they get paid so much, maybe they don't. And then, no, same jersey. Those jerseys are not cheap. They're not giving them a new jersey every game. Not even in the NFL do you get that. You don't get a new jersey every game. Now, you can get new cleats every game in the NFL. You can get new gloves, but not jerseys.
And they're not using those tearaway jerseys that I remember from when I was a kid. All right, Ross, that is it for quarter number three. Stick around. Andy is back for quarter number four.
This is Jen from Collegiate Athletic Travel. We've been offering travel to the biggest Penn State games for over 50 years. This fall, we continue that tradition in partnership with Keystone Sports Network with a trip to the Penn State-Auburn game. Join us for charter flight, staying at the team hotel, transportation to and from the game, and even a great tailgate party at the stadium are included. For more information, go to athletictravel.com or call 1-800-788-4414. See you there.
What defines the special spirit of Penn State? Why Penn State, by author Greg Woodman, looks to Happy Valley in the 1980s for answers. Featuring rare photos, original essays, and exclusive interviews with Coach Paterno, this beautiful 256-page full-color hardback edition explores the why behind We Are. It's chicken soup for the Nittany Lion's soul and makes the perfect gift for any Penn Stater in your life, including you. Order today at whypennstate.com.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.
We are Tech Results, located right here in State College. Whether it's workstation, server and network installation, problem solving and maintenance, security assessments, or general evaluations, we are your complete IT partner. Learn more at techresults.com. That's TEKResults.com. Or call us at 814-206-0000.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. That means we have Andrew P. Shea back with us. Andy, first of all, back in quarter number one, we had Chris Stoll on. Very nice young man. He was tremendous, talking about the Lift for Life event, which is going to be next Thursday, June 30th at the Lash Building, 5 o'clock. If you get a chance to go out and see the event, it's fantastic. It's a lot of fun, and especially if you have little ones, a chance to get up close to their heroes, these football players, and the players are typically just fantastic with the kids also, Andy, right?
Yeah, it's just they're up there for the summer, they're taking classes, they're doing their own thing. It's a very laid back important time for the players that is kind of owned by the players, so they're a little bit more relaxed during the summer when the public can engage in Lift for Life. So they're there to have fun, and it's a fun day for them. Pray for no rain that day, by the way, or no thunderstorms or weather issues in State College. But it's a very good time for them to be able to see and connect with them because they're a little more relaxed as well.
Very good. All right, but let's talk some football, Andy.
We've
started our series of positional analysis. We did the DBs. We did the linebackers. It's time to take a look at the defensive line. Let's go from inside out. Let's start with the tackles. And what we're going to find at both tackle and defensive end on the defensive side, there's a lot of question marks, even when I start with defensive tackles, by saying, gee, P.J. Mustipher and question mark. It's also P.J. Mustipher himself is a question mark coming off of injury, right?
Yeah, I think the whole position group defensive line, like we're going to start with the tackles, and we're going to talk more about defensive tackle position. But the entire defensive line, it feels like a double-edged sword for me, right? And I think the lens you look at this position through, that kind of matters as well, I think. And using one of my terms, it's a sticky wicket, as I like to say. I can see major concerns across the board on a couple fronts, on the entire defensive line. And I can also make an argument for a little, you know, hey, hold on here, remain calm, all is well. And I can see both sides of that, so that's what makes it sort of double-edged for me. If you're talking about the defensive tackle position, you start with PJ. Coming back from an injury suffered halfway through the season against Iowa. You know what? The other thing I want to say is I'm not sure we're talking about P.J. Mustipher in this defensive line at Penn State for 2022 if he plays all 13 games a year ago. I'm not 100% sure we're talking about him. So he sets the table as far as everything goes, as far as I'm concerned, on the inside. The level of play he achieved in half a season was noticeable and visible on a more complete player basis. His entire game had taken itself to another level. As long as he's recovered from that injury, you shouldn't expect anything else. Yeah, there's going to be some rust to knock off from missing half a season of football, but I don't see it as a long walk home for PJ to get back right to where he was as long as he's healthy. He is the one that sets the table and is the anchor around everything on this defensive line and how it's built, as far as I'm concerned.
Andy, we got some good news. James Franklin last week stated that he thought P.J. Mustipher is on schedule to be ready to play against Purdue. And for him to say that several months in advance is a very good sign, as far as I'm concerned. But then it becomes, okay, what next then? Who's going to line up next to him? And we do know that it's typically a rotation. It's not, okay, here's two defensive tackles. There's typically at least like a four-man rotation. A lot of candidates here. Akeem Beeman, Keziah Izzard, Devon Ellis, Amin Vanover, Mulba, Vandenberg, and you've got the one guy, the youngster, Zane Durant, who's been getting kudos from everyone when he showed up on campus in the spring. What are you looking for among that group?
So I will tell you what I am looking at. I'm looking at Keziah Izzard because, in my opinion, Jimmy, he's arrived. I mean, he was thrown into a primary role because of the injury to Mustafa. I not only thought he performed up to standard, and he was showing marked improvements every couple of games, but by the end of the year, he was starting to flash as well. So he's somewhat underrated in my book just by what he had to go through and experience last season and the way he sort of made his mark by taking over what you thought would be a really big hole. But it now, Tangelo helped, right? But if you watch Keziah Izzard, you just saw it like stepladder after stepladder. You could watch him play and see the lights going on. He's getting more comfortable. He's turning levels. And then at the very end, he started to flash. I think he's arrived. I thought in a rotational basis, being forced into a higher role, I thought Devon Ellis performed well as well in 2021. I thought he performed just fine. Yeah. Do not forget about Akeem Beeman, right? He missed the entire 2021 season as well. He's going to be coming back from injury. That is like almost like free depth. So that's four guys right there. So what you're talking about after those four guys that we've already mentioned, you're talking about four or five other guys looking for a fifth player minutes, maybe six based on an injury. You've got options. I don't really look that deep. I think if you've got your top four rotation inside, kind of you know what you've got, you're going to go with that in the beginning.
Then, Andy, if we switch over and look at the defensive ends, there's so many similarities, defensive end, defensive tackle. You have Adisa Isaac, who probably the most pressure on, the highest expectation, just like P.J. Mustafa, he's coming off of injury. You then have a slew of players, Smith Vilbert, Mustella. You have these guys who've been in the system now for a couple years. Are any of them going to step up? And then you have the youngsters, Denai Dennis Sutton, who's coming in, and Chop Robinson, who, after 1 year at Maryland, a former five-star coming out of high school, he's coming in. So where do all those pieces fit? There's a heck of a lot of pieces, but where do they fit?
So it's interesting at the defensive end position in terms of impacting the pocket and making the quarterback move off his spot off coming off the edge. That is what you're looking for, and I don't think the trio that you kind of know at, in a Penn State uniform, which is Nick Tarburton, Adisa Isaac you know a little bit about, but we know he has tools, but you haven't seen enough of him because he didn't play last year, and not only because of that, everything he did before that was kind of in a spot role. And then you had Smith Vilbert get some meaningful minutes at the very end of the season. But that is not a trio that is going to scare any offensive coordinator in Big Ten very much. Not at all. So they've got a lot of work to do to be a group that impacts the pocket and can get the quarterback off a spot from the edge. That's what you're looking for. I like Nick Tarburton in a role. I really do. I think he serves a stand-up lockdown first couple of downs defensive end. He does that well. He is not an impact the pocket guy. Adisa Isaac is a wild card. Smith Vilbert is a developmental project that you've got a little bit of taste of. Chop Robinson is, he's the who knows what to expect. You know, here's what I think of him from the transfer portal. I think he opens up options for this defense. He's a former five-star. He played as a true freshman at Maryland last year. Yes, he was an outside linebacker in a 3-4 defense, not a 4-3 defensive end, which he will be at Penn State because that's his natural position. But he will help. I don't think he's the second coming of Arnold Ibikiti. Don't expect that. He's only a second-year player. He's far from a polished product. But he has high-end building block rocks that you can polish and explore possibilities with. He's got a lot of talent. So the way I put it with him is he's not limited when it comes to talent. Let's just put it that way. And I know you love the freshmen, but I always worry about players that have to make jumps at this in a level in the impact defensive end position. I think when you go from high school to college and even college to the NFL, to me, football-wise, it is the hardest position adjustment to make a big jump with in all of football. So because there's so many subtleties and nuances to the position, it's just really, it takes a little bit more time than you think it should. But that freshman certainly has talent, Jimmy. There is no doubt about it.
I guess I look at it a little different. I see that, you know, maybe it's not a four down kind of guy, but as you said, maybe, you know, Tarburton's there the first couple downs, but you got a third and long situation and you tell this very physically talented freshman, there's the quarterback, go get him. And I think if you add to it, Manny Diaz, when he was asked about pass coverage, he said the best pass coverage is pressure on the quarterback. So that's what he expects from his defensive ends. That's what he's going to look for from these guys. I know 2 years ago we talked about Adisa Isaac that way, but who are the guys from this group who are going to apply that pressure, Andy?
Yeah, I think if Isaac was not greatly impacted by the injury that he had, I think he's a real possibility. I think with some more, a little more spit and polish on him, I think Chop Robinson absolutely is another option for that. You saw the flash from Smith Vilbert. Can he do that over the course of 12 games in a specific role? Possibly. I don't know. There's a lot of unknown that Manny Diaz is working with, but it's not like he's short on options or tools to play mix and match with. That's why I say it's a double-edged sword of, you don't really have any Rob Reiner sort of the sure thing, but you got a lot of sort of other side of it is, you know what, if you mix and match it well, remain calm, all could actually be pretty well.
And it's time, there's a lot of names here, and there's playing time available, because both these positions, they rotate people in and out. You want to be at least two deep, if not two and a half deep, meaning like five players for tackle, five defensive ends that will play. We'll see how that shakes out. But Andy, that's going to be it for our show. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us again next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
This is Jen from Collegiate Athletic Travel. We've been offering travel to the biggest Penn State games for over 50 years. This fall, we continue that tradition in partnership with Keystone Sports Network with a trip to the Penn State-Auburn game. Join us for charter flight, staying at the team hotel, transportation to and from the game, and even a great tailgate party at the stadium are included. For more information, go to athletictravel.com or call 1-800-788-4414. See you there.
In his book, Why Penn State, author Greg Woodman takes readers on a trip back in time to Happy Valley in the 1980s, a unique era of gridiron success and rapid expansion that gave our university its modern identity. Whether you're traveling down memory lane or discovering Old State's past for the first time, this compilation of rare photos, original essays, and exclusive interviews helps you explore the why behind We Are. Start your journey today. Order online at whypennstate.com.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.
We are Tech Results. Located right here in State College, we specialize in providing assistance with many third-party software suites. Our clients include doctor's offices, lawyers, construction companies, and even hairdressers. We provide help with their industry-specific software. Learn more at techresults.com. That's T-E-K results.com. Or give us a call at 814-814-8255. 206-0000.